Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And what a whirlwind week it has been. We had the 30th anniversary of the Philadelphia Church of God last Sabbath. And now we're just coming up on the end of the first semester of college and Imperial Academy classes. And so there's just a big rush around here to get everything shored up and completed. It's always exciting to be around during such a busy time of year. We're also about to have a singles winter weekend here in a couple of weeks. So just a really busy, exciting, fulfilling time of year. Well, today we're going to talk about the beginning of a church starting, church saving manuscript. This is a book that was written over 30 years ago and really is to be credited for the establishment of the PCG and the preservation of God's church, the spiritual entity of God's church, which easily could have been extinguished if not for this book. Of course, we're going to talk today about Malachi's message to God's church today. This is written by PCG Pastor General Gerald Fleury. And it really is just such a powerful expose on church history. It really does dismantle what leaders in the worldwide Church of God did after the death of its founder, Herbert W. Armstrong. This book truly does describe treachery that we really can't equate to anything else that we've ever seen. It's probably even worse than what we see going on in America today, because really the people who did this in the church should have known better. This book not only exposes what went wrong, but actually digs deep into the scriptures to prove what is right. I've been marveling this past week at just how much access we have to recent church history. Of course, as I was talking about on the show last week, we have the book Raising the Ruins. This book really does present to an outsider, maybe someone even who has never been that familiar with the work under Mr. Armstrong, a case for, let's say, even if everything Mr. Armstrong taught was wrong, what about all the lies? What about the lust for destruction from his successors? What about the way that they tried to smear him when he was no longer even alive to defend himself? Now, even if you do agree with all of the changes made after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, how can you agree with the methods that were used to make those changes come about? So Raising the Ruins really does show a lot of the physical details even. And then you also have this book, Malachi's Message, which gets into spiritual proofs. And when you put these two books together, you really do understand just about everything that has taken place in the last 30 plus years of God's church. These two books put together are incredibly valuable resources. Here in the preface of Malachi's Message, Mr. Fleury writes, "This is a story about God's church gone off track and what God did to correct the tragedy." Now again, Malachi's Message was presented to church leadership, and it was the reason that Mr. Fleury was fired from the Worldwide Church of God. And the main purpose of the book was to warn the ministry. The book of Malachi in the Bible is all about warning the ministry. In fact, Malachi 1 verse 6 through 3 verse 3 is all about the ministry. That's almost two complete chapters where every single verse in there is about warning the ministry, praising the few ministers who do it right, and condemning the vast majority of ministers who do it wrong. Now, of course, beyond just warning the ministry, Malachi's message was meant to alert the church membership of what was going on. As Raising the Ruins shows, too, the church was really deceptive with the membership while making just drastic church-rocking changes to all of the major doctrines. They weren't telling the membership the truth about what was going on. Meanwhile, they were telling pretty much everybody outside the church what they were doing. They were telling mainstream Christians, yes, we are coming out of our former cult status. We are getting beyond those old hateful teachings of Mr. Armstrong. But in the church, with the members who were paying tithes and giving offerings to do the work, they would pretend like no changes were even taking place. I've had the privilege recently of talking to a lot of members in the PCG today, a lot of ministers as well, who were also around in the WCG after Mr. Armstrong died. And they saw firsthand just some of the shocking things that were taking place. One man worked closely with someone else in one of the church departments. And the person he was working with always seemed to know months and months in advance what new changes to doctrine would be announced. And the reason was because this man was married to someone who worked in the editorial department. So the church leadership, while keeping everything a secret from the membership, was actually indoctrinating all of the writers of the church with these new beliefs. And then, of course, the writers could then pass that along. They could then start writing in all the publications, trying to explain to the members these massive changes. And if you just look at that on a surface level, that doesn't really seem like it makes a lot of sense. If something is true, if something is right, why can't you just say it right away? Why do you have to first indoctrinate the writers like that while keeping it a secret from the membership? So this person who was working next to the one I talked to actually said, oh yes, they're about to change from believing that God is a family to believing in the Trinity. And sure enough, months later, that's exactly what happened. This is just such a deceptive, destructive way of going about things. And it was commonplace. I heard another story from someone else about a teen Bible study in the WCG after Mr. Armstrong died. Just around 5 years or so after Mr. Armstrong died. And this minister was telling the young people, well, you shouldn't fornicate, you shouldn't be involved in sexual conduct outside of marriage, but we understand most of you are going to get into that anyway. So I'm just going to teach you how to avoid getting a sexually transmitted disease. That doesn't sound any different than the way the world would try to parent young people. This is worldly parenting taking place right inside God's church, well under a decade after God's man died. And it's just appalling when hearing these types of stories. I wasn't even alive when all of this happened. I wish I were, just because I can't even hardly imagine going through something like this. And I just have to try to study this history and imagine what it would be like, although that doesn't even quite do it justice, I'm sure. Here in the end of the preface, Mr. Fleury writes, the WCG today is hardly recognizable as the one Herbert Armstrong founded. And that, you could even have said that 30 years ago. But what about now? They've even changed their name. They're like any old mainstream denomination. And you just have to wonder if these successors to Mr. Armstrong really hated everything he believed so much, if they really wanted to be a part of any other mainstream denomination, why couldn't they just leave? Why couldn't they just start their own church? Well, as Raising the Ruins shows, why would you have to do that if you were given charge of a worldwide gospel-proclaiming empire that had access to hundreds of millions of dollars? So we're talking about a heist on a grand scale. They hoarded church resources to themselves, and all they did with it was destroy everything that every member in that church once believed in. So, like I said, I have been going through a lot of this history recently, and it obviously is something that can get you really fired up and angry, but it's also such a blessing to understand this, because otherwise, where would we be? What would be going on in our lives if we didn't have access to this information? Here's a quote from the introduction. Well, actually, not a quote, but there's just a story in here from the beginning of the introduction where one leader of another group that left the Worldwide Church of God was going on and on and on about how if Mr. Armstrong were still alive, he'd be happy looking at their church because they have a bunch of major leading ministers from the Worldwide Church of God still in their offshoot group. And Mr. Armstrong, he was talking about how Mr. Armstrong would have been satisfied to see all those big names at the head of that church. Obviously, there was an obsession with prominent personalities, as if the name value of human beings is what really matters when choosing which church to attend. Obviously, these people were focused on men. And like Mr. Fleury said, not the message of Christ. What is more important, following prominent leaders of the former Worldwide Church of God or following what Christ himself says? It shouldn't be that difficult of a choice. Now, there is one main thing that really does separate God's one true church, the PCG today, from every other group that came out of the WCG. And that is government. There is really only one church now that actually believes that Mr. Armstrong fulfilled a number of major prophecies. In fact, one leader of another church actually went so far as to hold a makeshift de facto census. He was basically going around asking people on the street, have you ever even heard of Mr. Armstrong? Do you see what he was trying to do there? He was trying to undermine what it says in Matthew 24, verse 14, that a man would come and preach the gospel message around the world as a witness to all nations. And of course, if he could get enough people who had said they had never heard of Mr. Armstrong, well, Mr. Armstrong must not have been the one to fulfill that prophecy. What a smug, arrogant tactic. And the fact is, the truth is readily available to anyone who wants to find it. That is really the measure of it. The work of the PCG today is out there for anyone with an open mind, anyone who actually wants to look and find truth. Now, of course, certain people are engaged in lifestyles where they would never care to look into anything about God's truth. There are plenty of people out there who are atheists, plenty of people who are Satan worshipers. Literally, they worship Satan. So why would they care to find this work? But if you want to find it, it's out there. That's the point. And even in the case of Mr. Armstrong, people who didn't care to find the truth still heard of him because he met with hundreds of world leaders, because he was on many hundreds of TV stations, because his magazine was subscribed to by over 8 million people. Even people who weren't trying to look for the truth while Mr. Armstrong was alive probably still stumbled across it pretty frequently. even today, God works miracles to put the truth in front of people who may not have looked for it otherwise. But of course, that's not going to happen with everybody. Not everyone is going to have their mind open to the truth right now. But I just couldn't believe that that church leader would go so far as to ask people on the street if they'd ever heard of Mr. Armstrong. Here's what it says in the introduction, and this is quoting from 2 Thessalonians 2. Mr. Fleury writes, God's own Laodicean church is perishing. Why? Because they don't love the truth, God's message. They're all focused on, have you ever heard of Mr. Armstrong? They're all focused on, well, look at all these big leaders we have in our church. And they're not focused on the message. Mr. Fleury writes, here is the key to avoiding deception. Once you are a part of God's truth and work, you must cling to it like a drowning man to a helping hand. Imagine drowning to death. And then finally, someone reaches over the side of a boat and is offering to save your life. Would you not grab onto that hand? Malachi's message is that helping hand. This is the only way that so many thousands of people were able to leave the worldwide Church of God and come to the Philadelphia Church of God. Christ left the WCG and went to the PCG. And Malachi's message made that switch very clear to anyone who was still trying to follow God. Matthew 24, verse 24 says, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So this is a group of spiritual elites. The very elect can never be deceived. And if you think someone's a part of the very elect, but that person is deceived, well, that person was never part of the very elect in the first place. The very elect will never get deceived. And as Mr. Fleury says, that's because they always focus on the message. The messenger is not the most important part. You have to follow God. You have to follow the message. And then the messenger is the third most important element to that. To conclude the introduction, Mr. Fleury writes, are you a true Christian? Do you follow Jesus Christ? This subject is so terribly important. We cannot leave it to chance. Our salvation hangs in the balance. Then going into chapter one here, this is titled A Call to Remembrance. There's two main qualifications of Philadelphians. So these are the people who upheld what Mr. Armstrong taught, what God revealed through Mr. Armstrong. Let's be very clear. We're not talking about Mr. Armstrong's own self-invented beliefs. These are beliefs that God revealed to him. These are beliefs that maybe Mr. Armstrong initially tried to disprove, and yet God knocked him down and forced him to acknowledge the truth in his study process. But these Philadelphians uphold that standard. They follow what Mr. Armstrong taught because God led Mr. Armstrong. And here's this verse, Malachi 3, verse 16, the two qualifications of Philadelphians, the only loyal people who follow God today. Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So these people fear God, and they fellowship. Fear and fellowship. Those are the two qualifications of Philadelphians. There is an element of godly fear that should keep us on the right track. Fear, in the right way, should help us to obey God's law. Obviously, a lot of people think the law is done away, but you can thoroughly prove that that is not the case. when we fear God, when we have enough respect for God, when we know that God is always watching, that God is judging his church today, that really does help us obey, doesn't it? That helps us in our daily lives. That helped those who had to make the choice of where to go once the WCG went off track. Were they going to fear God, or were they going to care about a salary or about what their friends thought or about the big names that were starting up other offshoot churches? If they really cared about fearing God, any of these people who attended the WCG, they would have read Malachi's message, realized that was correct, and come into the PCG. The membership of this church should be at least 10 times bigger than it is right now. And yet, the problem is that people just didn't fear God enough to go where he led. Here in chapter 1 on page 2, Mr. Fleury's referring to this verse. He says, this is really more than a book of remembrance. It's a message from Christ to those who remember past instructions. It's a wonderful message of encouragement. So that's what Malachi's message is. It's a shining light. It's a beacon of hope. Because all these people were wondering what to do next. Were wondering why God would allow the WCG to fall apart like that right after Mr. Armstrong died. It didn't make sense to those people. And yet, if they're here in the PCG today, they know exactly why that happened. If they read Malachi's message, if they studied it, if they prayed over it, if they really had an open mind, they would know exactly why it went off track. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11 says that God sent the strong delusion that knocked that church off track. God wanted to test who would stay loyal when a strong personality like Mr. Armstrong wasn't around anymore. And only the Philadelphians remained loyal. They feared God enough to follow him into the PCG. And the other element there, they fellowship often. In this church, we're constantly building the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood. We're a spiritual family. We take advantage of every opportunity at Sabbath services, at Bible studies, at church activities, just going around campus in daily life to talk to each other, to get to know more about each other. Sometimes in conversation, things come up and we know what we're going through. We learn what others are going through, and we can pray for each other about those things, and we can help each other stay strong and hold fast. Page 2 says the entire book of Malachi revolves around two groups, those who forget, the majority, and those who remember, the minority. Which group do you want to be a part of? Do you want to forget everything that you had ever believed for your entire life? Just because one man died? Does that even make any sense? Of course not. The book of Malachi has some strong condemnation for the ministry because they're the ones who led the membership off track. Malachi 1 verse 13 says, you have snuffed at it. So this is talking about these ministers basically snorting at God himself, snorting like a pig or an ox. That is not a favorable description. And yet that is what the ministers became like. That's what they started to do. Mr. Fleury writes here on page 4, there is no greater honor than being in the ministry. Also, there is no greater responsibility. He talks here about the church eras and how the Ephesus era went off track and those who stayed loyal to God had to leave that church. And that's exactly what happened after Mr. Armstrong died. There was a lot of confusion in the WCG because before Mr. Armstrong died, he said to support Joseph Tkach, his successor. Mr. Armstrong said not to leave the church, but we have to understand what the church is. There's a difference between the WCG as an incorporated body and the spiritual entity of the church. The church is wherever Christ is leading. And it's not always a guarantee that Christ will be leading in just one specifically named church like the WCG. If that church goes astray, Christ has to start something else up. In fact, of the seven church eras described in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, five of them did go astray, and Christ did have to start something new as a result. The question is, would you rather follow Christ or stay in a church and follow those deceptive church leaders? Mr. Fleury today constantly defers to Mr. Armstrong. He's written that he's never changed even one judgment made by Mr. Armstrong, because Mr. Fleury realizes he's under government too. He's not trying to invent excuses for disobeying God's government. He obeys it too. He was kicked out of the church and had no money, no employment. Meanwhile, another offshoot planned for months, if not years, before they all left at the same time. Dozens of ministers leaving, taking thousands of members with them. Those ministers never missed a paycheck. They tried to work it out their own way. Where was the faith? So this is just really an epic book. I'm not even exaggerating when I say that about Malachi's message, and I'm sure many of you listeners already know that. If you don't already, you can get yourself a free copy at thetrumpet.com. This book will change your life, and we will begin talking about it even more next week on the show. So thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.